I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And on this show, we have stuff, as we usually do. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We're also proud members. We are proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Whew. That was hard. Sometimes it's hard to say words. Words, they just come out of your mouth. Okay. Cord cutters. Let's go with our first item, shall we? Cord cutters, you need to rescan for new channels. Now, as you may or may not know, you can get broadcasting of broadcasts over the air TV by hooking up your television. I have a television right here in the living room that I'm pointing at, a great big 65-inch TV that I'm pointing at. That TV, if I were to hook it to a cable and hook it to an antenna. Actually, I have an antenna back here behind me, back there, that I haven't hooked up yet. But if I had hooked it up, and it has a little motor that can turn it, it's very cool. But anyway, if I did that, then I could get over-the-air television broadcasts. Let me say, Dr. Bill, whoopee-doo. People have been doing that for years. Yes, they have. But now the channels are all digital. Okay, so it's not like snow that you see on the screen and, you know, hanging basically aluminum foil from rabbit ears. Any of that stuff like I grew up with.
Back in the day. Yes, indeed. Where's my glasses? Got to put my glasses on to do the old man voice. There you go. So...
anyway, I'm just having fun today. But no, you don't have to do that anymore. Just put up the antenna and then you see, you scan. You turn on your TV and you tell it, look for channels. And it'll go channel, 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 channel down the line. And as it finds channels, it will register them. And you may say, okay, Dr. Bill, I've done that before. Whoopee-doo, no big deal. Well, here's the big deal. Over the last couple of years, they had, what do they call it? Where they sell off new frequencies, okay? They started selling these new frequencies, new broadcast frequencies. And over the next 18 to 24 months, which is roughly 2 years-ish, they'll start turning on channels on these new frequencies that people have purchased or licensed is maybe a better way of putting it. So some channels that were on one frequency are going to move to another frequency, okay? So what you need to do is you need to occasionally scan and see if a channel has moved to a different frequency or if other channels have been added, okay? So if you're a cord cutter, if you've cut the cord, then occasionally you need to do that scan. Okay, it's just a tip. A tip or a hint for those of you that have cut the cord. Okay, next item. Windows 10 may be coming to Chromebooks. Now, of course, I run Chrome, the Chrome OS, on my Chromebook. Why would I care about Windows 10? Well, some people want to run Windows 10 programs, and so wouldn't it be cool if just like on Apple's Boot Camp that allows you to run Windows on Mac, you could run Windows on your Chromebook. Now, you could already, as of recently, run Linux on your Chromebook, because, you know, Chrome really is Linux when you get right down to it. It's just a variant or a form or a distro of Linux. But they built in this technology called Crostini, which allows you to run Ubuntu Linux or Linux Mint or some other variant of Linux on your Chromebook. Well, they're doing the same thing with Windows. This is a recent, reportedly secret project. Secret project. To get Windows 10 running on Chromebooks. XDA developers Kirin Miyamoto reports on the latest developments surrounding the Project Campfire. Project Campfire. It will be the Chromebook equivalent of Apple's Boot Camp. From their report earlier this year, a mysterious project appeared on Chromium Git. The Chrome OS developers had created a new firmware branch of the Google Pixelbook called Eve Campfire, and we're working on a new Alt-OS mode for this branch. We've since confirmed this Alt-OS refers to Microsoft Windows 10 and found evidence that it wasn't just an internal project, but was in fact intended for public release. Whoa. So that will change things. Indeed. There you go. Whoa! Thank you, Fred, for waking me up. Wow. I really wasn't asleep, but I was kind of off in the other world. Which happens to me sometimes. Yes, you're right, Fred. Sometimes I have very little contact with this realm. Okay. No, but the Geek Software of the Week. This is important. Pay attention. The Geek Software of the Week is a very cool Geek Software of the Week. It is a beta released product. I guess you call it a product. It's free. It's kind of still a product. But it is, in fact, Malwarebytes. Good old Malwarebytes, which I like. I use Malwarebytes. I have the paid version on my computers. And I like Malwarebytes, does a good job. But they now have a free browser extension for Chrome and for Mozilla Firefox. So you can get this extension by going to the respective stores for either Mozilla Firefox or Google Chrome. And you can look for Malwarebytes browser extension, okay? Once you find it and install it, you'll find that it is quite aggressive in stopping evil websites from jumping out and taking over your computer or whatever, your web browser, etc. And since most exploits occur through the web browser, this is a good thing to stop it. Okay, so one of the things I did to test it, as you can see from this screen here, it says, warning, clickbait. You don't want to be clickbait. So I went to a website that I knew it would identify as clickbait. Okay. A website that we will talk about more in just a moment that I am not recommending. However, it is in fact clickbait. So it gives you the option. It says you can go back and protect yourself from this clickbait, or you can continue to the site and be eaten. Or whatever. Fooled by the weirdness of the site. The internet chicanery, as I call it. So, if you want to be protected from this internet chicanery, then you can install Malwarebytes browser extension. And I would suggest you do that because it is very useful. And it leads us into the next topic, which is an opinion piece that I did on the old blog. The blog, of course, being drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes if I do an opinion piece, it can get a little political. I don't mean it to. This is a tech blog, so it's, you know, tech program. It's not my intention to get political. But I will tell you up front that I am a free speech kind of guy, okay? I like the fact that we have the ability to speak freely about what we think, okay, and not have people control our discourse in this great land of ours. So, I wrote this article. I'm going to just read you the article because I think I said it the way I wanted to say it. And since I said it the way I want to say it, I'll just say it that way. Yes. So here you go. How do you guys feel about censorship online? I'm a free speech kind of guy. I don't want anyone to be allowed to approve or disapprove of what I'm saying in my blog posts, on my show, or in anything that I write or present. That's just me. To me, the right of free speech is a key to our personal freedoms in our representative republic form of government. And yes, you may note I said representative republic, not democracy. That is because while we do have a democratic form of government in one sense, that is not the official form of government we have according to the Constitution of these United States. I'm just being technically correct here. The problem with a pure democracy in which everyone gets a single vote is that it can become simply mob rule. If you look around you, you will find that there are a lot of people that have opinions that do not have the brain cells to rub together to back up those opinions. It's the truth. This is merely an observation. Okay, no political statements here. Merely an observation. You may think what you will, you may say what you will. That's the beauty of free speech. But this is a tech blog, not a political blog. So it's not my intent to get into politics at all. What I want to talk about is this. What are we to think of the censorship that is being done on the internet to all kinds of sources, whether they are politically left or politically right? Do you want to be the arbiter of what others see and are allowed to read? I know some of you are, but bear with me here. There are many that want to be just that for all of us. And therein lies the problem. How are we to know and trust the self-appointed censors? The bottom line is, I don't. I don't want you censoring what I read or what I watch, no matter who you are, and no matter what your credentials are. This is really a slippery slope. And once we surrender this right to read and to see anything that we want to read or to see, then we are in danger of entering into a totalitarian society. You may not like what I like to watch, and that's all right. You may not like to read what I like to read, and that is your right. Just don't tell me what I'm allowed to read or to watch on the internet. That's not your job. In fact, it's not anyone's job. But Dr. Bill, you might say, what about hate speech? Well, the problem is one person's hate speech is another person's set of facts. The viewer or the reader should be the one to decide which category what they are viewing or reading is falling into. In other words, it should be my decision. That's not the way it's been with news, or that, excuse me, that is the way it's been with newspapers, books, magazines, and other sources for a long time, and it's worked very well up till now. Remember those folks with only a few brain cells to rub together that I mentioned earlier? Well, what if those are the people that decide what you can read and what you can see? You see the problem. The pursuit of knowledge and your personal, intellectual, and social development should be up to you. It should not be the purview of anyone else to direct your attention to any form of information, whether it be political, social, or personal, and this applies to technologies as well. I don't want anyone telling me to avoid Linux simply because it's Linux and not Windows. You know that I like to spout off about Windows and how it's evil, even though I still use it. Let's be honest. But that's just me. I'm not telling you that you can't use Windows. I'm just telling you that in my personal opinion, Microsoft is trying to have too much control over their operating system and their users. I know that, and I accept that it is true, and I still use Windows. And yes, I know that that's a surprise to a lot of folks. But I can use Windows, and I can use Linux, and I don't see the problem with that. That's my choice. I'm doing it with my eyes wide open. If I want to point out how heavy-handed Microsoft is to my viewers, and to my listeners, and to my readers, then I should be able to do that freely. And you should be able to absolutely disagree with my stand as a viewer or a listener or a reader. I have the right to my opinion, you have the right to your opinion, but no one has the right to determine my opinion or your opinion. That's really the point. So I'm an ardent supporter. Am I an ardent supporter of InfoWars, the website that I went to that said it was clickbait in the previous example, okay? No, I'm not. I don't go to that website. I don't read anything on that website. But does that website have the right to exist? Absolutely. That's really my point. Heavy-handed organizations and companies that censor the internet are very troubling to me. I am not pro hate speech. I am pro free speech. The decision of what is hateful should be left in the eye of the beholder. There's an old saying, don't tread on me. That is pretty much my stand. Don't tread on me when it comes to what I read, view, or watch. I want everyone to simply leave me alone and allow me to make my own decisions. Thank you very much. Okay, that's the article. And if you find it controversial and strange, well, tough. Get your own show and talk about what you want to talk about. I talk about what I want to talk about, and I talked about it. There you go. Okay, next item. Google's 8.8.8.8. What? It is a DNS. It's a free open DNS that Google makes available, and it celebrated a milestone. Now, I was married. You say, what does this have to do with Google? Bear with me. I was married on 8-8 of 88. In other words, August the 8th of 1988 is when Belinda and I got married. We just like those kinds of weird dates. I mean, it was coming up on that date anyway, so we said, why not? 8-8-88. Well, coincidentally, Google's website is 8.8.8.8, their DNS, okay? And it celebrated this. On Sunday, the 12th of August of 2018, which was just recently, at 1030 BST time frame, the public DNS of Google celebrated 8 years, 8 months, 8 days, and 8 hours online. Dude, gotta love that. Google is very proud of this feat. It's been instrumental in some public censorship battles, for example, when the internet access was blocked in Turkey. In other words, Turkey blocked people from going to certain websites, but if the people in Turkey put their DNS in as 8.8.8.8, it went out and found things that were blocked by Turkey. Those nasty Turkeys. Yes. You know, the bird. Never mind. Anyway, if you've never tried it, find the setting in your router and add a place in your ISP numbers where you may get a significant speed boost and increased security if you substitute 8.8.8.8 for whatever your ISP's DNS is. While you're at it, you can also add 1.1.1.1, which is the Cloudflare, say that carefully, Cloudflare DNS option provided by Cisco. Okay, so if you have 8.8.8.8 and 1.1.1.1, then you should have fast DNS response, good security, and be able to reach anything, anywhere on the interwebs at your leisure. Okay? Now, last item for this show. This is weird, but this, you'll like it. Gregory Peck's grandson. This is a picture of Gregory Peck with an old picture of Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock, because Gregory Peck's grandson, Ethan, is going to be the new Mr. Spock on the Discovery Star Trek show, Star Trek Discovery. Now you may say, but yes, but Star Trek Discovery is about the starship Discovery, not the Enterprise. How's that going to work? Well, therein lies the story. But basically, Captain Pike from the Enterprise is going to become captain of the Discovery. And in the process, we're going to meet Mr. Spock. And Mr. Spock is the, so to speak, foster brother of Michael, what is her name again? It's on the show. Her name is Michael, which always confuses Michael Burnham. Michael Burnham, the character, kind of the main character of Star Trek Discovery, is sort of Spock's father, Sarek, and his mother, Amanda, are Michael Burnham's foster parents, which kind of sort of makes her Spock's sister, kind of sort of. Okay, now, you might say, wait a minute, Dr. Bill, that's not canon in the Star Trek universe. Ain't that the truth? But anyway, it's a new show. What are you going to do? And it's sponsored by CBS, which owns Star Trek, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do about stupid-looking Klingons that aren't even Klingons in the Discovery universe? What are you going to do about that either? Be frustrated and upset. That's what you're going to do if you're a Star Trek fan. Anyway, they're supposed to redo the Klingons yet again this season. The excuse being that they're from a different house. So, like, you've got different houses among Klingons, so they look different? They're different races? What? I don't know. Why do I think that the new Klingons are going to look just as stupid as the last new Klingons? I want to know what Mr. Worf has to say about all this. He would probably say, Captain, I am not a merry man. I'm sure he'd be right. Anyway, by the way, Peck is not related to Zachary Quinto, who plays Spock in the film franchise that is the other universe Star Trek that does not include William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy, but rather includes Zachary Quinto as Mr. Spock and Chris Pine as Kirk, which I'm okay with that universe. It's just not the universe I grew up in, and it's okay, and at least it's Star Trek on the movies, and so okay. So now they're monkeying around on TV with a new Star Trek. But Picard is also coming back. Old Picard. 20 years after the last movie when he was already old, Picard. So that should be interesting. Although Patrick Stewart never gets old, it seems. So maybe that's okay. He can eternally be Jean-Luc Picard. It's interesting that all the other people that he worked with all got old. You know, number one now looks like he's been put out to pasture and left there. And Deanna Troi is looking a little older, to put it nicely. So, you know, we all got a little older. So there you go. Anyway, I thought it was interesting. Gregory Peck's grandson. That's kind of cool in an odd way. And so I'm looking forward to that. And if you look at his picture again, I'll put the picture back up. You know, you can kind of see it. Put some ears on him. Cut his hair right. You know, yeah. Okay. I can kind of see Spock in that. But, you know, I like Todd Haberkorn as Spock in Star Trek Continues. Liked him, too. So, you know, I'm easygoing. Anyway, that'll do it for this show. Join us again next time. Remember until then that the Doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.